Welcome to the Fit 2 Talk podcast.
You just found the number one health and fitness podcast for performers, and you're listening to a guest episode during which we discuss the realities of a career in the performing arts with people who are fit to talk about them.
Yes, and if you like what we do, please leave us a review or on Spotify, click that follow button.
And also, if you like our meaningful, helpful, and accurate information, then you might want to be coached by us. And if so, Fit to Perform may be for you.
Oh, it may well. You can find out more information over on Instagram or on our website.
Moving on, we have an incredible guest for you today.
Yes, we do. And it was a very funny episode. So our guest today has done all manner of jobs. Just a little highlight reel. My Fair Lady at the Coliseum and on the UK tour. She's also been in Oklahoma, Chichester, 42nd Street, that banging revival that happened at Drury Lane. What a wild one. Also, she's been Flo in Half a Sixpence. We chat about that in the episode. And also Alice in Seven Brides for Seven Brothers at Regent's Park. She's also done a couple of films as well, just a few small ones. Wonka, which has just been released, and also Cats.
Yeah, she absolutely has. And she's done so many more. That's just the highlight reel, isn't it?
No.
Anyway, she's great. So please enjoy the barnstorming Bethany Huckle. It's Fit to Talk. I have these small windows of the day where, you know, I'm inflated with
I'd like to point out that I do not inflate him.
Well, let's keep going with this metaphor. Bobby, sometimes you inflate me.
Oh, dear. It's a different podcast.
And other times, not so much. Can you imagine saying that to a guest? Imagine, let's not. On that note.
Well, you could try now if you want.
We should say that we know each other.
We do know each other.
If people listening to this are going, oh my God, they're awfully familiar.
They're saying this in front of a stranger.
Yeah. After a very intense start.
What the fresh hell is this?
Poor one. Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
We'll move on from me talking about being inflated. At some point during this recording, would you be willing to tell us a lie?
Yeah. I've been thinking about this. Because I'm not very good with this sort of stuff. So I thought, can I spice it up a little bit? Can I tell? I did this when I was auditioning for colleges, and it was in a part of an acting class, and you say two truths and a lie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So can I do that at the start now?
Uh-huh.
So then I don't have to have any pressure to try and lie, and then you guys can guess what the lie is.
No. Yeah.
Sorry, I couldn't describe that very well. And I lie.
Very excited about this.
Yeah, you described that fantastically.
Two truths, one lie.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay. I'm not going to.
You're going to look away from.
I'm not good at this.
If Bummy and I look at it one another.
Yeah, you look away because I can't.
Let's hope I don't get inflated.
So I'm going to block my eyes because this, you know.
This is fantastic.
So number one is I was a mother care baby model.
Okay.
Okay.
Number two. What was number two? Oh, bugger. Oh, yeah. Number two, I broke my chin on a Lego brick.
Okay.
And number three, I mistook a vet for a GP when booking an appointment for myself.
All three of these are fantastic.
Okay, if you're watching this, then that all made sense. If not, during that time period, Ben had her hands over her own eyes and Bobby and I stared lovingly at each other. Okay.
The fact that two of these are true
is
fantastic because they're all brilliant.
I've had quite a colourful life.
I feel like the mother care one's true.
The mother care one? You think the mother care one is true?
Yeah, I do.
Think the Lego brick one is just about crazy enough to be true.
There was the preamble before it.
Yeah.
I felt like was to mislead us.
The preamble? No, I just was a bit.
I don't think it was intentional, but I think it's. I don't think you'd forget the lie.
I think you would forget the lie.
You guys are thinking into this a lot.
It's almost like it's really
this
important
is the
to us.
Main part of the podcast.
I don't think you would forget the lie.
Oh.
I think that's the bit you'd cling to.
Right.
Do you not think?
So you're thinking, what are you thinking? What do you think's the lie?
What was the third one?
The vet for GP.
I don't think she's booked a vet as a GP.
I think that's the lie. as well.
For your own sake, I hope that's not true, but let's find out. Should we find out at the end?
Oh, God. I want to know now.
Do you not think it's a reason to tune in for the rest of the episode?
But I also want to know now.
Let's find out.
Let's find out.
Okay. So the lie was I mistook a vet for a GP.
No way!
Yeah, we got it right.
Boom. Oh, my God.
No, it wasn't. No, it's not. That's a truth.
Oh, take the high five Psych. Back.
Remove
take
the high five.
I'm so sorry. It's because I'm so embarrassed to say that that's true.
That's true. Okay.
Yeah. And I have got a scar from where I broke my chin on a leg brick.
So the lie was straight.
The lie, I am not a mother care baby model.
Well, I hope not right now.
Not right now.
No, I thought maybe.
I am 27.
If you,
yeah.
you say right now, I'd be like, I'm skeptical.
I am a big AI. Nobody wonders. That's fascinating.
Yeah,
I am really glad that the leg
really
brick
is.
Was true after
yes.
The preamble. I was like, I'm pretty convinced.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, fascinating.
Yeah. That was great. I enjoyed that too, truth or lie.
Damn, I thought we nailed it.
It just puts the pressure off me now, because I don't have to tell
there's
them
no lies now.
I know.
Then maybe we will lie.
Almost sad. We'll put a couple of lies in. Ooh, a phone call.
Oh my gosh.
Hello.
Sorry. Yeah, actually, on my phone, if anyone's looking, that's Gorgeous George. That's my other half.
Yeah. Gorgeous George. There will be plenty of time for you in a brief moment.
He doesn't need it.
So let's start at the very beginning. How does the story of your life begin?
So I grew up in a lovely town called Stevenage. I use lovely probably a bit loosely.
Yeah.
it's a place. It's fine. I reckon the town in itself is lovely. The people in it sometimes, skeptical, you know. But I have an older brother. And I started dancing very young. I think it was like one of those things that like my mum had friends who had babies the same age and, you know, just shoved us in a lovely little dance class. We were skipping for about an hour. I like skipping for an hour and carried it on.
Who doesn't?
Do you know what I mean?
Me. Well, imagine skipping for an hour now.
That would be good cardio, right?
Yeah, if it was joyful skipping.
If you tried skipping as an adult, if you manage to do 8 minutes of skipping.
Not proper
without,
skipping.
Without, oh, there we
what?
Go.
Like, what do you mean, not proper skipping?
As in, like,
with
not skipping with a rope.
Oh,
like,
no, I skipping, mean skipping. Skip.
Yeah, I was like, who's skipping with a rope
I
for an hour?
Oh, no.
Exactly.
The calves. Like, the calves.
That's what I mean.
Like, joyful skipping.
Yeah,
like
skipping
frolicking
through a
in the
field
daisies.
Of daisies, yeah.
They're, frolicking like Theresa May.
What? Gosh, yeah, I get it now.
Yeah, okay. So, like, that's a callback for an
hour. Oh, God, that... Yeah, that took a minute.
Like, that like did take a minute. I was like, what's Theresa May doing in a field?
That's what we all asked, but that's another hint of that. Anyway, we're back to skipping for an hour.
Yes, that happened. And then, throughout my schooling, I continued dancing. I did swimming quite a lot as well. And I was a bit bored. So I thought, I've got to sat this off. It's a bit much. And then in secondary school, we had like a science and performing arts infused secondary school, and they were great. Like the acting department, dance department were brilliant, and they sort of, I don't know, they saw where I wanted to go or where they thought I was going to head, and they sort of clutched on and, took me under the wing. That was fun.
Super supportive. What are you loving at?
It was the clutch. Oh,
they were aggressive in their clutching.
That took me by the clutch.
Done. So in general, so other than dance then throughout that period of your life, what was it like? Or did it just solely kind of revolve around that thing? Obviously you're swimming.
The swimming.
Yeah.
A distant memory of the butterfly. No, I'm joking. It was very dance heavy. Like I'd never say that like my parents were pushy at all. They just saw that I really enjoyed it and thought, okay, wow, she really wants to do this. And got involved when I was at school with sort of a dance school, which was detached. And you then get into doing different exams with tap, modern, ballet, a bit of street dance, a bit of musical theatre. And then after that came festivals and competitions. So then,
the joys.
I love festivals.
Festivals are the best.
Yeah. Festivals are the best.
Like, yeah.
I feel like anytime we've got someone on who can like really dance, like you do a lot of festivals in
Bobby, did you do festivals?
I did do festivals. Oh. I love festivals.
What was your first song and dance solo?
My first song and dance solo was Consider Yourself.
Of course.
Yeah.
Was that after you did Oliver at the West End, dear, or was it?
Brilliant.
Was it... I was like, might as well put it to use.
Yeah. Did you win?
Yes.
Yeah. There was a hesitation.
I feel like they could, like, you're like, he played the part in the West End. If you don't let him win.
Like, yeah.
I won.
Yeah.
It's your mum at the side, like, I'll give you a tenner. Yeah. You're telling me just
always doing deals,
putting out the program. Always honestly, played it in the West End, so
yeah, honestly, look at him. It's a photo.
Oh, they were the best times though.
What was your? Yeah, you're popular in demand.
Demand on a Monday.
What was your first song and dance solo?
My first song and dance solo was Just to Get My Name in Lights from the Boy From Oz.
Oh wow!
Oh.
Yeah, I remember once I cracked and I ran off stage.
You ran off stage.
Yeah, I did.
God,
yeah.
If I ran off stage every time I cracked, I'd barely be on there.
I'd still be running.
I'd be an offstage swing.
You're like, bye-bye.
Where's he gone?
God, that was the one positive when we did Joseph, that my song wasn't high.
Mine was.
Yours was
high. And I did crack. And I did run off.
You've cracked like once.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
You've got to experience the cracking moments. It's character building, isn't it?
Oh, my character has been built.
Yeah, I'm solid.
I live for the crack.
Robust now because of both. You live for the crack.
I do live for the crack.
That's a...
Hey.
Mildly
tune into my podcast, Living for the Crack.
Living for the Crack with your inflated co-host.
It's just descended into madness. Fantastic.
And I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
So, like, have you ever cracked on stage?
Yeah.
Obviously, yes. Right.
Oh, good, Jen.
Do you have a comedy instance of that happening? Or in an audition?
Oh, audition, 100%. I don't think Mamma Mia will ever see me again. But you know what? I don't. That's okay.
Do you remember the point in the song?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was currently in a very, very, you couldn't get more legit show. I was in Seven Brides for Seven Brothers at the time. I got a call through from my agent to say, obviously, Mamma Mia. I was like, oh, that's nice. Okay. Singing call. Fine. Yeah, all right. I did realise it was pop. But obviously, you know, even though I'd been singing, like bloody Snow White, not like ABBA.
Yeah.
And then you go in, I sung Eternal Flame by Atomic Kitten.
That's a banger.
Yeah, it is, until you get it wrong.
Yeah.
It's fast. And I, what was it? And it was, I don't know, what was it? I can't remember. I think several cracks were made.
It does go, an eternal
flame. No. I didn't get to that bit.
Oh.
I just went, an eternal flame. I just went, yeah, it was quite fun.
Fantastic. Mm. I have cracked on the first note of a song before.
Oh, what song is that?
Strong work. Yeah.
It was.
Strong work.
It was actually an immaculate way to start an audition, right? I was here and I was like, here we go. Right, it's an 80s song, Sweet Little Mystery, wet, let's go. Starts off.
Okay, well, that's a bit savage, isn't it?
Yeah, you took a risky choice there.
Yeah, it turns out that was a B flat.
Is it still in the rep?
I have never sang it since that moment in time.
Good.
I literally went in, and you know, some days your voice is fine. I just had never really considered how high it was. I was young, and stuff was easy then. Back then, when I could sing, and I literally went in, and there was no intro. There's no like four bars. Oh. It's actually like there's your note, and they come in with you.
No.
And I was like, okay, cool. I'm still there, like ready to go. And he gives me the note, and I'm like, that sounds.
Sounds dodgy.
It sounds quite high.
I don't remember
actually.
It being that high. Okay.
And it starts and it's literally like, not love. And then all of us present have to sit through the rest of me singing that song, which was all fine. But from that first 2 seconds, we all knew I'm not getting that recall. So I was like, it's taken a tumble. Ooh. It doesn't matter what I do now.
You're singing for yourself. Yeah, like, it's over.
Still, if you don't know that song, it's banging. But also, yeah, got it. Straight out of the rap.
Mm.
Any others? Any in a show?
Yeah, I think I've erased them from my memory, though, to be honest. Oh, Half a Sixpence, there were definitely some.
Yeah.
It was a hard show.
It was a hard show.
No, I can't remember. There must have been so many more.
Yeah.
But I can't remember them.
This is the thing, I think, like, because obviously we'll get to this in a moment, but you are now the head of dance at a drama school.
I am.
And... you're like, it's really tricky to get across to students. You're like, yeah, you're going to make those mistakes in front of 2,000 people. Like, And
yeah, things happen.
You got to be robust. Like, I know we're joking about it, but you got to be fine. You got to find a way to pick yourself back up, get there, and then somehow deliver it the next day, like something that we were chatting about.
And that's the thing. It's like not developing a complex. Mm. That is the hardest skill to do. And it's not even just vocally, dance-wise as well.
Yeah.
Or even act if you dry. Suddenly, you've then got this whole dark cloud over one little line.
And you always dry on that line.
Mm.
Like, what the hell is happening?
Or you overcompensate that line. You're like,
you start stumbling over the line because you're really trying to enunciate every single word.
Yeah.
Also, that just turned into Gandalf for a second.
I did wonder why Gandalf was
here. Do you have a
very
good Gandalf impression?
If we feed you the line, would you say it in your finest Gandalf? You shall not pass.
Oh, no, I can't do that.
I think you can.
No, I can't.
All right, another half hour.
Okay, fine, just throw it in randomly.
But, you know, to not develop that complex, how do you do that? Or does it just...
Oh, you have to just not think about it.
Right.
Erase. Not that you should erase memories. That's sad. But...
Stop it in black.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen. Cool.
Some futuristic stuff.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, you just got to not think about it. The moment you think about it, game over.
Yeah, that is what happened to me when I dried in Matilda.
Mm.
It was words, and I was waiting to go on. I hadn't played the part for like 6 weeks.
Uh-huh.
I'd been doing covering stuff, and then came back to my role. I'd been doing the show for a year.
Yeah.
And I could not for the life of me remember. And it was this, I was about to like burst through the door and run through and do the little monologue. Oh, and I was like,
what's the monologue?
I don't know what it is. Like, I was like, I don't know what any of it is. I turned to the stage manager and I was like, what's the first line? Can you ask the person on book what the first line is? They were like, what? I was like, there's no time. Can you please, 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 just ask the person?
There's
no time. And they're like, what do you mean? And I'm like, I'm through the door. And I was like,
and panic.
Yeah. And I'm out here. And they did not come to me. Like, it was an absolute nightmare. But I just had to then go, right, don't panic on this for the next day. Just go over it. Do what you didn't do yesterday.
Do what you attempted to do.
Yeah. I remember having it with a dance. Like the first, I had to run out the very first moment in the show. I had to do a pirouette. And like, it was a pretty straightforward bit of choreography, but I fell out one day. And then the next day I was like, oh God, I need to not fall out. And then I fell out of it again. And then I started getting like, then I was like, okay, I'm just going to do a clean single. Fell out of that. I was like, what? I'm suddenly just
stopping it.
I can't dance. I've lost the ability to dance on this one moment.
Just mark
it. Could you just do renovate? Like, what did I do? Some people are doing the audition like this.
I just spin my hand.
Honestly, because obviously like dance was not my thing. I'm so confused. Well, the first time I saw people doing that in an audition, I was like, what's happening?
Like, did you try mimic them turn. Whilst you turn?
Oh, like it was like the hand clapping thing when they just like... And I'm like,
did I miss some choreography?
Like, what's going on?
Is it a percussion section?
And then obviously you're like, oh, I need to practice it.
I'm going to need to do it.
I need to know where my eyes are going to be looking when I come back around. To go, right, what's next after this? Because I can't spot that well.
Just solid head.
Like, literally.
Some people turn like that. And I struggle not to compliment them.
It's amazing when you see
it. If they can do a double, sometimes people can do a triple without not even attempting a spot. Just do the...
It is incredible to watch.
I'm literally like, well done.
Yeah.
How? That's the wrong skill, but fun one.
But very impressive.
Like, well done.
Well done to you.
That was poor.
We need to change it, poor. But well done.
That was...
Like, how do I get... I want to sort of compliment you, but I can't because it's wrong.
Yeah, wrong. But well, this is like the thing about dance. We've said this before, that like it's like an alphabet of movement, right? Mm. When you go, objectively, when you look at that, like, cool.
Yeah.
But then you're going, well, it doesn't quite fit into the code we've decided upon, right? Mm. And different dance styles have different language codes, essentially, and to go like, what style are you speaking? And then contemporary is like...
Whatever
you want. Well, you shall not pass. Just in my own voice.
Yeah.
Like,
you shall not pass.
You shall not pass.
Imagine he delivered it like that.
That would be. It would have been fantastic.
The rest of the movie, just like he does, but not that.
Just for that moment.
Shall not pass.
How? Also, this is a pet peeve. Every student in that drama school currently, or not every student, that's a lie. They keep saying slay.
Oh, Jesus. You say it at Christmas, that's fine.
Yeah, in reference to something.
I was teaching the other day down south and they were saying, ah, sleigh. And I was like, no, that's awful.
Nay.
Oh, it's just, and they do this, they do a heart.
Oh, yeah.
One more time.
They make a little heart.
And then there's that other heart you can do.
And index finger. Oh, I don't know this one.
With someone else. With somebody else. I can't do it.
That doesn't look like a heart.
Yeah, and then you go like that.
Oh.
And then it's a heart.
That's cute. That, I'm unsure.
That
looks like you've just clipped.
I mean, I'm now going to do that.
I don't know. I've never felt less cool than this stuff when I'm literally like.
I'm glad I'm not in this generation or that generation. I don't want to say slay.
Yeah.
No.
I'll say, I have a habit of saying, like, beauty queen, I'll take it. Like, yes, queen, yeah, I'll take it. That's fine.
Yes, queen, yes.
But slay is just you're off the cliff.
That's something that in 5 years' time, you'd be like, oh my God, do you remember when we used to say slay?
Yeah.
And like, we're just about old enough to now see those things and go, yeah. I'm not going to adopt that.
That's like us saying, God, do you remember when we used to put slugs on our faces, like eyebrows?
Yeah, I did that.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And then tweezer them all off.
Yeah.
It's not going to go well.
No. My mate used to shave her eyebrows off with like a razor.
No.
Yeah.
All of them?
She had like stubbly eyebrows.
What, and then draw them back on?
Yeah.
Everything, not just the middle. Just
the whole thing. Gone. Clean off.
No, that's wild. Yeah. What happens if it rains?
Exactly.
If it rains, you've got some soggy eyebrows or none.
You just got stubble.
But I suppose you can choose your expression for the day.
Just what? Surprised. Surprise the entire
secondary school, and you've got like double history. Like,
you could look surprised. You could look perplexed.
Yeah, you could go for full
quizzical.
Like, full cartoon eyebrows. Like,
yeah. I'm kind of here for this.
Yeah, it'd be fantastic.
Maybe better. People might have a different perception of you
if you had cartoon eyebrows.
Well, if you were a cartoon, I think they
would.
Would
it be a good one?
No.
How's that perception?
How's that perception going?
Working good? So you getting back to your life, because I have taken us wildly off track on this. You then went to Erdang, right?
I did.
And what was that like?
I loved it.
Excellent.
It was great. It was, so when I was younger, I used to watch, I mean, I was in the complete wrong era to watch it, but my mum and dad gave me, you know, Fame.
Yeah.
They've got the series.
Oh, yeah.
Fame, the series, is the best thing ever. It's better than the film, sod the films, the musical, she's gone, the series. It's insane. And it was exactly like that. You go in, there's music blurring everywhere. The teachers are full on, you know. I remember our head of jazz, I think it was head of jazz, head of dance, Paul Hack. He was the best human I think I'd ever met. He was Australian and the most full-out man I think I've ever met in my life. And the people I met were amazing. Still got a really close group of us now. It was great. It was really good.
It's so nice when we hear that.
Yeah.
Like, it's difficult not to draw comparison to drama schools now.
Yeah.
You know, when you go, the things that you're describing as... Mm-hmm. Things that you enjoyed, and actually some aspects that I enjoyed of drama school are similar, was perhaps quite how tough it was.
Yeah.
And whilst that's also potentially damaging and has problems, like, that was the thing that perhaps got the best outcome out of us at that time.
Yeah.
And obviously we're not really able to do that anymore for obvious reasons. Like, do you see that?
100%. I mean, it was full on when I went to college, and 100% there were elements that were not positive for me. Like, for me, it was more diet. Like, it wasn't even just our healthy performer classes. I think it was just us taking things so literally. I remember being in changing rooms, and it was literally a competition of who could eat the least.
Wow.
And you're doing class after class after class. You know, sometimes you're doing 5 dance classes back to back. How are you supposed to feel yourself if you're on carrot and hummus?
Yeah.
Like, that's it. Not even that. Sod the hummus Sundays. Like,
yeah.
And it was only until I started my first job, because that was so physical, I just thought to myself, I'm going to have to eat here.
Yeah.
Like, it's gonna have to happen. And yeah, the tough love thing, I think, is a really hard topic at the minute, because I don't know, it was very tough when I was at college. But it's like what you said, it did bring out the best in me and I think everyone else. And there were moments where, I don't know, you're on the verge of tears or or a teacher said something actually that was out of line and you go, in another world, I could have called you up on that.
Yeah.
Like, fair play. But I think now, I think teachers are so petrified to say the wrong things. We've now taken such a step the other way. And I don't know whether students, and I'm just generalising here, whether students are able to take a slightly more full-on teacher.
It's something I'm definitely wary of, is perhaps the wrong term. You want to go, you know, you're always having to make sure that what you're saying is coming across the right way, which I think is positive. But also you go, how firm can I be and it still get the response that's needed without it being unnecessary in any way? And you're going, that's really, really difficult to pitch. And so you're better off leaning on the side of leniency in case it comes across as anything else, and then your career's over.
Yeah. It was also like for instance, you're writing reports for Christmas. And again, it's wording. You don't, because there were, you know, there are obviously some people that you just, I want to be savage with you so that then you can get your act together and go, okay, this term, new start, new me, I'm going to be motivated, I'm going to do this, I'm going to be, you know, organised. But again, on paper, it's even worse.
Yeah, we used to have ours in person. Did you have that?
What? Oh, in person. I thought you said in purse. I was like,
in Perth, Australia. No, we used to go into, they used to call them crits, right? And you'd go in, you'd sit in front of the panel of the teachers or maybe onto different things, and they'd go, here's how you did this term. You were bloody awful.
Yeah.
Like, you need to sort your shit out. I went in there to one of them and they said I was a terrible human being. And they were literally like, you need to sort yourself out. This is like, and you're like,
Okay.
I will by in the week I've got off. I'll see you week Monday.
I'll be a different person. Yes.
And I came in a moustache and a glass. Like,
ah, disguise.
Who's this? and whilst, again, very problematic, but at least you had the opportunity to hear it rather than written down. Stuff doesn't come across necessarily. And obviously, you can't do that now because there's 10 times more students than there used to be and there's less time and all that kind of stuff. It's a tricky one to...
Tricky one to navigate, I think. But I think we need to gradually introduce a bit of tough love. I actually was having the conversation with the students just before Christmas because they had a teacher in that he came in with a strong discipline. And to be honest, I was a bit like, I'm pro this.
Yeah, cool.
Because they need it. They're not, you know, I think they're a different era to us and they need to have a bit of a shock because when they go into an audition, that's what it's going to be like. Yeah. You know, you've got feisty people who want jobs.
Yeah.
They're going to fight for it. They're not just going to, you know, move
they
on down.
They will push you.
They will scratch you.
Yeah. Good job. I've been pushed in an audition before. No. Especially when it's like slightly busier and people are like jostling for room. No word of a lie. Yeah. I'm literally like, and there's that classic old thing of like people trying to intimidate each other before going in. Like,
oh,
in the way.
It's so funny. And they're funny. Like, oh, do you know this person? Oh, yeah, I worked with them 27 years ago.
And then they're with like their leg like round the back of their neck. And you're like, one, not a great way to warm up. And
one, your hip flexor is crying.
One, you suck. And two, I'm here in like Adidas joggers and some trainers. I'm clearly not a dancing threat to you, am I?
I feel like I'm the complete opposite. I end up having a catch up nowadays in auditions.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
Yeah.
So nice. Everyone
people you haven't seen
like,
for ages.
And then, oh, I just put my earphones in, do a quick Sudoku.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I just sit there and drink a coffee.
Yeah.
Just wait.
I just don't care.
Just wait for
the wait. Wait for the horror to come.
So we're not going to go through every job you've done because I have the CV in front of me and it is
extensive.
Oh,
there's loads. We will have told people at the start of this and we'll crack it all on the thing. So don't worry. You've had a formal introduction that you
we
haven't
you
heard. of all of this wonderful stuff. But there's so many shows on here that people know, right? Like, I think one of the questions I was really looking forward to asking you was, and actually you've alluded to it a little bit, you came from this place of like not really eating because of what had happened there. Like, and developed a professional practice over that time of going, how do I take care of myself in order to do this at my best? What does that now look like? And what was the journey like to get there?
Oh my God. It was like Everest. It was just crazy. Like I honestly, I had the worst eating habits in the world when I was at college. I think there actually is, so for my top-up degree, I did my dissertation on work-life balance. And I had a little section where I sort of delved into different eating disorders and things like that. And I can't remember what it's called, but it's basically you have a very, you literally have a diet of about five different bits of food. That's literally, and I think for me it was like sweet potato, fruit, veg, chicken, rice, something like that. And yeah, going to a restaurant or even just, I don't know, going to have some dinner with your partner or your family, it just wasn't a thing. But then starting that job, I then thought I need to eat more. And then I think just being around older professionals that have been going for much longer than I had, and sort of them seeing me in that sort of state was so helpful. And yeah, I'm trying to think. I think I just slowly, the more and more I had time out of college, the more I grew more of an awareness of what I need to be eating and what I need to be fueling my body with. And, you know, if you're doing eight shows a week, like on 42nd Street, if you don't fuel yourself properly, you're going to get injured. Mm-hmm. And with something so physical, it's so important. And it has come with partners as well. Like my other half, George, at the minute, he's a farmer. He has no idea. We need it a little bit, but, you know, so such different professions. But, you know, when I first met him, he could see some of my triggers from a mile off. And, you know, if I wasn't eating a bit of cake for my birthday, or if I wasn't eating a bit of chocolate, he'd be like, what's up? What's happening? So, yeah, having people around me who aren't even in the industry, you know, help and guide is a big old thing.
Yeah.
I think to sort of get me to where I am today. So different.
That's like, I think, great advice. Mm-hmm. Like, is that where you said you found that, you know, bit by bit? Was it information that you got from people around you, or did you seek it out? How did you learn?
I never actively, I don't think I went to any like practitioners or nutritionists. It literally was just through conversations with pals and family. Yeah. Pretty much.
I'm going, maybe sweet potato, chicken, rice, and not. I couldn't remember the other two. not everything. They sound delicious in one meal, but maybe
but that every your entire day. It's every a day, bit that's much, a lot.
Oh, nobody needs that. No.
Come on,
misery.
Come on.
I love what you said about it's not the usually the first thing people jump to with that is that it leads to injury. Mm. I mean, I think often people get that they'll lead to low energy and weight loss and stuff in a negative way. And I think people don't really understand the difference. Like you'll have muscle wastage when that happens, but it will lead to injury. And that's one of the really tricky things. I feel like when I'm teaching healthy performance to these students, I'm chatting about injury all the time. And you're like, you don't understand. And I'm like, ask every single tutor that comes in here if they've ever had an injury from being in a show, and you won't find one that says no. Like there isn't one. Like,
and it doesn't matter what show it is.
Doesn't matter. No. Plays where you're sat down all the time, the simple repetition of the movement is taxing on the body. So you're like, if you aren't doing that well, you're kind of screwed. And you might think it's fine when you injure yourself when you're 23, but that injury is going to bite you in the ass when you're 27. And then by the time you're 33, you're going, oh, I need to manage this every day now. Like, what the hell happened to me in that time frame? So I'm like, it's something we're really trying to shift.
Knuckle down.
Even as fit too.
Yeah, those injuries stay with you.
Yeah, like, they really do.
They do. And you can just, they're just always there. Always there. So the more you can try and avoid those when you're young, the better.
Yeah, because they're fine when you're young. You're like, I'll recover. You don't.
But the thing is, when you're young, you don't care.
I don't care. Oh, that was
come
me.
Come on. First I didn't year care. At Erding, I'm like, I need a warm up.
Yeah. Yeah. 1, 2, 3.
But now, oh my Lord. Like, honestly, I remember I was in an audition last year, like November, December time. And I, for the first time in my life in an audition, I got cramp in like multiple like muscle groups on both legs. And you know, you're like, what's happening?
Yeah.
Beth, you're 27.
Yeah. Honestly, I was in the gym yesterday and it's so cold right now, right? And I went into the gym and I'd done a brief warm up and this is insanely boring, the actual thing, but the thing I'm talking about isn't. I started off just doing some pull-ups and I dropped down from the bar after my first set of pull-ups, landed, and I was like, oh, my ankles, my knees, my hips. all three in sequence. And I was like, oh my God. They were so cold still, even though I'd done a brief warm-up, but the temperature outside was like zero yesterday. And I was like, this is awful. Like, I needed to spend like quarter of an hour and I had to stop what I was doing and spend another, like, I spent about 10 minutes going, right, let me really focus on this. Because like, that was like arthritis level of joint pain.
Oh, God. You're
like, that was a warning sign.
Yeah, you're like, oh God. And when you're going to do pull-ups, I wasn't like, need to work on my ankles before this. Like,
yeah.
Hadn't thought
it's
about
like
it.
That's a group you think about.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, this
that's
is
like
fine.
That's like me saying, yeah, anything about my eyebrow. Like,
yeah. I am very expressive when I exercise.
Do you do a facial warm-up?
I look horrific. it's not a pretty sport. Do you know what I mean? Well, nothing is, except from, I guess, performing, because you have to be.
That's true.
Sometimes.
When you're giving it like a really hard dance routine and they're like, more face. And you're like,
more? In the gym? No.
That's when drawing on the eyebrows would help.
yeah, perfect.
You'd have to pull the facial expression.
Yeah, stick those eyebrows on. Just draw on everything.
Yeah. You don't need eyes anymore.
Like... Go full Mr. Potato Head.
I'm kind of here for that. So you said you'd had injuries. Do you mind telling us any of the ones that
so many. Shoulders? Knees, my rotator cuff in 42nd Street was, oh, it was something. We do this a lot.
Oh,
imagine
nice.
Doing that
or
with a busted nose.
And quick.
No, thanks.
Yeah.
Rapid, right?
And I think at the time we were filming. Yeah, we were rehearsing for the film version of the musical and we were in rehearsals all day and doing an 8-show week. And the Americans, they weren't taking any prisoners. They needed things full out.
They did
not care if you were 80% wrapped up or physio taped up. They were like, do it. So, yeah, that was one.
That sounds awful.
Knees. I think it's from an IT ban thing. Sorry, that's really great terminology. But
it is. I think quite a lot of people won't know what an IT ban is. So to be fair, like,
yes. You don't want to know.
But yeah, I feel like everything at some point, like I've woken up with multiple trapped nerves in the old neck, and you know things like that. Like, what do you do? Get a new pillow?
Yeah, you wait. That's when you first realize that you're not like 18 anymore. When you're like, why can't I move this part of my body right now?
And you can't be reckless and fall asleep on a sofa.
No.
Because otherwise you wake up and you're like, oh, God.
Off to work.
Yeah. Wow.
Even this
good
morning.
Good thing I'm doing waltzing. Like.
I was rethinking my pillow choices this morning. I woke up and I went, I think my pillow's wrong.
I actually had an argument with my other half last night about pillows.
No way.
We've got two pillows. And in his defense, it is his pillow. And it's this worn duct. I think it's duct down, and it's so worn. And I can't do big pillows. It's just not a thing for me. And I've been using it for ages, and he hasn't ever clocked it. And he, like, I was away for a couple of days and came back. I was knackered, didn't realise he'd switched pillows. And then the day after I then went to bed, I thought, this isn't right. This isn't right. And I had a full on, it wasn't even an argument because he was semi asleep and still talking to me.
He's trying to take it back from under his head.
But then it was a little eureka moment. I don't know how. He then switched and I thought, okay.
You were like, all right, that's earned you another year.
Yeah.
All is well now.
You can stay.
All is calm.
Yeah. My neck feels supported.
So was 42nd Street, or actually looking at all these many, many credits here, what do you think is the most physically challenging show you've done?
Half Sixpence.
Straight in.
Easy. Everything.
Wow.
It was such a brilliant show. I was quite young still when I did it. It was my second job. And physically, for me, it was really, really demanding because I was very lucky to have my own part. And that sort of involved me singing with, I don't know if you've seen the show, there were four boys that I was always with as part of the story, and I always sung with them. So it meant that I'd always have to go up the octave. So I would be literally like me the whole time, like, but I'd like be belting, and then I'd do a duet with Devon, and we'd then be like mixed belting. Then we'd quick change, and I'd be part of the ensemble, giving it a sop. And yeah, when I was younger, I say at that point, I didn't really know how to rely on a mic. I just, and no one had told me, and I just thought, oh, I'm just going to go for it every night because it feels great.
Yeah.
But, you know, doing that 8 shows a week for, I think it was 18 months, like it then got to the point where I was getting laryngitis and my throat wasn't playing ball, and I just thought, what's going on? And, you know, I remember having a chat with some of the older members of the company and just chatting me through and be like, you don't have to go for health forever. You can literally rely on that mic.
Yeah.
So, you know, it wasn't even just physically, it was an overall level of crazy hard work.
That's an amazing thing to learn though, and really perhaps difficult to take on. I think, you know, when you're used to going, I want to give every performance 100%, yeah, and that's what every audience deserves. And you're like, well, this is an interesting discussion, that because I'm like, Is 97% better if you can deliver it every single show?
Yeah.
Like,
and I wasn't at the point of like nodules or anything like that, but it was just, I wasn't doing it safely, I don't think, because I felt tired. You know, I felt vocally tired. I wasn't straining a lot, but I wasn't sort of conserving. I don't think I was just going for it.
Also, when there's so much vocal effort in a show, like your chance of one note being placed in a way that is suddenly fatiguing those muscles. Obviously, you know, if you're singing 1,000 notes, then it's very, very unlikely. But if you're singing 10,000 notes and you're exposed, you know, it's you. You're like, okay, well, the chance of you doing that in one of those shows in the 8 shows a week is high.
Yeah,
and so you're like, oh god, it's gonna happen.
I don't know. I don't know whether it's covered a lot in colleges. I know we have voice classes and we are told to use our support and use our projection and, you know, have that foundation. But yeah, I think I was quite lucky personally to have that happen to me in my second job, to then go, okay, I need to see. And that's when I then thought, okay, I'm going to have some singing lessons. I'm going to get some grounding. I'm going to get some, you know, some techniques that will help me. So, you know, if I do have, I don't know, I guess if I could pluck something out, if I had to go on for Eliza Doolittle and sing bloody hell everything, you can.
Yeah.
You know.
I was looking at your spotlight.
Uh-oh.
CV.
I haven't touched that in decades.
Yeah, there are some things on there I want to ask you about.
Oh, no.
A couple of accents I'd love to hear. The demonstration of one of because...
see your laptop.
Because these are on there. on there, two that are on there that I would love to see. You're up for French is one.
Oh god.
So
I actually had to do this in a show, and it was a cover, thank god, and I did have to go on, and it was at the Menier Chocolate Factory. If you know that theatre, it is intimate and you cannot get away with anything, including
they can see everything.
French accent. It's just very hard.
What did you do at the Menier? What was it?
It was, so I've done two. I've done Barnum and then The Boyfriend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just before COVID.
I mean, yes, that is, I've done it once and it was like...
Oh, it's something. And if something goes wrong...
that laugh. So we won't make you do the French.
How
about we try an Irish RP?
Or Irish RP?
Yeah, that's what you've got on there.
What is that?
Irish RP.
I can't do Irish. I think it's a bit racist, if I'm honest. I genuinely had, it was a voice teacher at Erdang. I loved her, but she got me. And you know when you learn something and you have like a template, you have just a sheet of paper with a sentence, you have to say it. We were doing Irish. And I've got quite a high, I have a high speaking voice. And I recited it and I did it on my own. And I was literally like, oh, the dog went up the hill. And she stopped me and she said, no, Beth, now try this. Imagine, because I have a bit of imagery here, imagine you're a balloon and you're tied down to a rock. So she wanted to ground me a bit. I was like, okay. And then the dog went up the hill. And then she said, some might consider that a bit racist. And I thought, I can't.
He's like, but no, I'm trying my best. It's not coming. I'm not coming from a place of mockery. I'm attempting it.
This is my voice doing that accent.
Just help me. Yeah.
And the other final one. This isn't an accent. This isn't an accent. This is something else that was on there, which I just want to know what it is. Body combat.
Oh yeah.
What is body?
Oh yeah.
What is go? What's body combat?
So when my mum was younger, and hold on, when I was younger, my mum used to do loads of gym classes, and I used to watch them because I used to love just watching them. So I used to sit on the little mat and watch. And one was body combat. So you know how sometimes you've got some of the gym classes where you've got the blocks, you've got the step ups, like step class. Sometimes they have the step, and it's all like uppercuts and jabs, and it's so cool. And you're, it's like a dance version of boxing.
It's Les Mills,
basically.
Yeah,
it's Les Mills.
Oh, Les Mills.
And
body.
You do
Les
like little ninja kicks.
I see.
And
I thought that it was like its own skill rather than
did you think I was like a stunt double?
Well, I was wondering if it was like a weird version of
fighting
stage
bodies.
Combat that only
I'm
used
definitely not one of
just
those.
Your body.
I'm fighting myself. I'm fighting my body.
I use my body to combat you.
Yeah. All shoulders.
I've never seen you move like that.
You're welcome. Treat yourself.
Fantastic. And then let's just cover, how did you end up then, or what made you decide to go and let's go and be a head of dance?
So I've been lucky enough to have teaching in my life for years. Whether it was sort of, I guess it did start with smaller, like my local dance school, sort of helping out with the little ones and things like that. As soon as I graduated from Erdang, I knew I wanted to teach. And obviously you have a bit of muggle life, don't you? Of course you do. I remember asking my principal, when can I come and teach? Can I come and do a workshop for Erdang? I'd just love to, I'd love to teach the students. And she was like, no. Get experience, come out.
No.
Like, have 2 years, get some experience, come back. And yeah, and then it happened and I sort of got roped in because I love it. I then got drawn into work for different colleges and did quite a bit for Erdang and loads of like different colour Emils, Birds, Lanes, Arts Ed. And then, yeah, I'd finished, what was I on? I was doing My Fair Lady at the time. And I don't know, part of me, I've always wanted to venture more on the teaching side, but I've just never had the chance to do it. And I think when you're in this industry, it's so hard to change the mindset and go, okay, I want to not even take some time out to do something else, but I want to venture. I want to gradually build this CV up now and sort of have a little time. And luckily enough with ICMT, which I'm head of dance at, they're brilliant. They give me such a flexible way of life. So even though I'm head of dance, I can still sort of audition for shows that I would like to do. I'd sort of set myself after My Fair Lady just to do London and maybe like a cheeky, like Chichester or a regional production. But yeah, it's been really great to suddenly be able to. It's also for me, I'm like, I'm so chuffed I can help my friends out. And I know a lot of them teach and a lot of them I can go, hey, I've got some hours. Come over to ICMT. They're great students, you know, and come and inspire them, really. But yeah, it's been good. And I'm just glad that I have made the slight shift within sort of teaching, but still feel that I can perform. Because it's hard. It's hard to suddenly say, actually, no, I'm going to give up performing. But also, I feel like we're so pressured if we want to, you know, temporarily pause.
Yeah.
And go to a different side of working. Yeah.
I feel that.
Yeah. It always feels like it's weird that our industry sees as giving up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I always think that's a strange thing. No other industry, no other career do you go, I'm going to give up that.
Yeah.
Whereas it's always seemed like that with this. So it's nice that you're able to kind of do both things. And we're the same. We do obviously fit too, as well as being performers. And I think the more we can encourage that, I think the better relationship everyone's going to have with performing and with the industry. But yeah.
I think a lot's changed since COVID, really.
Yeah.
You know, everyone has, I'll say politely been forced to find their passion and find things that they want, you know, they can do on the side and they enjoy doing on the side. Yeah, because I think before then, I don't know whether it's something that starts with colleges. Within yourself, you just think, MT, musical theatre, is the be-all and end-all, and I have to do this, and I have to keep doing it until I play the grandma in Billy Elliot, and that's that. You know,
one day for me.
That is one of my achievements. I want to be the Nan Billy Elliot. Yeah, thank God there aren't any Irish accents in there.
French?
No.
Just Geordie, which is that's a challenge.
That is not on my CV.
No, that's not on mine either.
Hopefully it's not on mine. I don't know.
Well, we'll soon find
after
out.
After that, I'm going to check my mind tomorrow, yeah.
Is there anything about the industry or health and fitness that you would like to see get in the bin?
I would like, within the industry, it's the element of, I think it came from the commercial side, and now it's happened to pals of mine, penciling.
Yeah.
And not even penciling. I was told one job, I was a backup mix.
Backup mix?
Sounded like I was in a girl band.
Yeah.
And I didn't think anything of it. Like personally, I thought, okay, yeah. I'm first reserve. That is cool. But I think people can get so confused. Like, what the hell does that mean?
Yeah.
And people will hear the term pencil, and they're like, oh my God, I've got it.
Heavy pencil.
And a heavy pencil.
I've had a super heavy pencil.
A semi-demi heavy pencil. Yeah.
What's a super heavy
pencil? But you still may not get the job.
And I didn't get the job.
Exactly.
I was super heavy pencil.
So
I didn't get,
hard.
How
which
close was I?
Yeah, like,
what are they drawing?
Is there then a pen and a Sharpie?
Yeah.
Like, how far off was I?
That's the spectrum.
You are a strong whiteboard pen.
You go, so it's wiped off immediately. Is
Dry erase. You're gone. You're cut.
Good. Yeah. Is paint, does paint come into the spray paint? You know what I mean?
It's like you've been barreled.
You've been barreled.
Oh, my grandma's called Beryl.
Yeah. My brother actually had his Beryl pens confiscated off him when he was a kid.
Why?
Because he used to press too hard on the paper.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
It is.
They were the red and blue Alex. Ones right now. Yeah. Absolutely loved them.
Yeah, they were great.
They were elite pens.
They were. You knew that you were class.
Yeah, if you weren't cracking up.
That's top tier, that is.
Tesco, even in Stevenage, it was hierarchy.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
His parents got
really
money.
Moved up.
Fair enough.
What job do you do?
Gee.
Mum's
a surgeon, is she?
No. I feel like it should just be a hold, and that is fine.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely fine by being a hold or on hold. I think he has been on the podcast, and I don't think he will mind me outing him. Jacob Fisher.
Yes, yeah.
I'm sure it was Jacob. He was put on hold for Shrek as Pinocchio, and he was on hold. All the way through their run.
we've had this.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting to hear for Miss Saigon and You're in Town.
Right,
yeah. Which was 2013 or 2014?
I'm still waiting to hear if I'm going to another country with a show that I was currently in.
What?
Yeah, that's confusing, but...
That's mad. Yeah, I'd
my
like...
My brain right
I
now.
I would
you
like
know that story.
Some clarity, I guess. But... I guess it is hard on the other side, but for a performer who is, you know, you're waiting on a job.
Just so we don't know yet.
Yeah, some certain jobs, especially if they're like year contracts, you just, it could literally change your year.
Yeah,
and
don't
how,
know
you know, yeah.
Also, every single time I've been on a like super heavy pencil, I haven't got it.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. Like,
those
just,
damn
just...
super heavy pencils. Yeah.
You don't want to be super heavy pencils.
No.
You're just a bit of communication, I think, is the thing. You just want to know, like, just know kind of where you stand.
Yeah, and I know they've got a lot of people to get through in some cases, but
I
think it's
nothing.
Just making sure that they realise that we are humans as well, that, you know, we take so much time out to audition, we miss work, we miss so much to not even get a job, to audition for a job that we could literally get cut for.
Well, this is, I genuinely, I'm like, if the thing that you're passing on and you're saying is really stressful for you time-wise to tell other people is unhelpful, like saying, you're on hold, don't.
Yeah.
Like, just wait. Just as long as when you've made a decision, you tell everyone, fine. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? For me, I'm like,
as long as you've told me, even if it's a no, I'm so cool.
If you if you go, look, the offer's gone out to somebody else, but then I understand. And if you come back to me in 2 days and go, actually, they said no, can you come? I'm a big boy. I'm still going to take the job.
Yeah, like,
thanks very much. Yeah.
And I'll still find out. If you don't tell me that, I'll still find out you offered it to somebody else anyway.
We all know when we're like second, third, fourth choice.
Yeah. It'll probably be a pal.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, cool. All
right. You're like, and he didn't want it. Lucky me.
Happy days.
I did.
But I'd say that as industry. I've got quite an abstract one for fitness. I'd like to put, I don't know how you're going to react to this, sweat in the bin.
Just all sweat.
Yeah, because I'm quite a sweaty person, not in life, just fitness wise. Yeah. It's carnage. And I can't, for instance, I can't go to the gym and then go straight out.
Because you've got a shower, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that would be quite convenient. And I feel like if you don't sweat, you won't smell.
Yeah.
So that's that. And I do get quite annoyed at people who just look like they do the most crazy workouts. I just look fine.
Yeah.
Sign of an effective cooling system of yours, though.
Yeah. Sweating. I mean, I sweat just blinking, so...
But I wish we had all of, like... Because I know sweating is healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I would like all of the healthy benefits, but no sweat.
Yeah, done.
Yeah, yeah. I'm 100% sold.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'd love that.
Right. Without changing your facial expression...
Well, no, because we've already done two truths, one lie.
Yeah.
Oh, I want another one. Fine, we'll move on.
Have I told you any? No.
Yeah, I was wondering if you might have slipped in
Could
one.
Could you imagine?
Just gone fully rogue.
That would have been...
Led us down a merry path.
Wizardry stuff.
I would have been up for that.
Yeah, fully. It's time for another game. Well, it's time for the game. This or that. Okay. So it's going to be a 1 minute lightning round. Stefan, I'll give you two options. You got to pick one. Quick as you can. Let me set up the timer. 1 minute on the clock. We're going to go in three.
This is stressful.
Two, one. Let's go.
Eggs or bacon?
Eggs.
White bread or brown bread?
Brown.
The US office or friends?
US.
Cardio or resistance training?
Cardio.
McDonald's or Burger King?
None.
Singing or acting?
Singing.
Irish RP or French?
None.
Yoga or Pilates?
Yoga.
Family Guy or Love Island?
None.
Domino's Pizza or Papa John's?
Domino's.
Sport or dance?
Ooh, dance.
Alcohol or chocolate?
Alcohol.
Matching socks or mismatching socks?
Mismatching.
Coke or Pepsi?
Coke.
My Fair Lady or Oklahoma?
Oklahoma.
Game of Thrones or Glee?
Game of Thrones.
Books or Kindle?
Book.
Clean shaven or beard?
Oh, don't have one.
Personal chef or personal stylist?
Stylist.
Opening night or press night?
Press night.
Sexy or smart?
Oh, sexy.
Shower or bath?
No, shower.
Ken or John?
What?
Kenneth Avery Clark or...
Oh, Ken, sorry.
Dogs or babies?
Dogs.
Snakes or badgers?
Badgers. No snakes.
Theme park or water park?
Theme park.
Running or walking?
Walking.
Director or choreographer?
Choreographer.
Bobby or Stefan?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh,
that's so
stressful. How did we do?
51 seconds.
That's very good. I think my highlight was,
don't have one. Shaven or beard? Don't have one.
I don't have one.
He doesn't have to be on you. I don't have one.
So good.
Don't have one. You know when you say something and you go, Bethany Huckle, you stupid.
Don't have one.
I don't have one.
No, I loved it.
Oh, and, God, yes, great.
Jesus. I thought Ken or John would make sense. But
what did I say? What?
You were like,
what?
What are you talking about? I suppose in this context, out of the drama school.
I've got you.
We should say that Ken is the principal of the drama school.
Oh, who did I say?
You didn't.
I think you said Ken.
See, they're both lovely. I kind of like John. He's just silently witty, which I kind of
John's
love.
Hilarious.
He is. He really is.
I actually don't know what his job
is. Don't tell Ken
is,
that. He'll be fuming.
I'm not going to tell him. He's not listening, is he? let's be honest. So we won't worry about it. And on that note, thank you so much for joining us, Beth.
Anytime.
Thank you.
And thank you at home or wherever you might be for listening.
Yeah, and if you've enjoyed this episode, click those like and subscribe buttons. Find us on Instagram at fit2_talk. As always, if you've got any questions you want answered, you know what to do. Slip slide into those DMs. I'll be in there fueling my body.
Oh, okay.
That feels dodgy. I don't know why that feels dodgy.
Inflating. Thanks again for listening. And if you like what you've heard, we've been Fit2 Talk with our wonderful guest, Bethany Huckle, and your hosts, me, Stefan.
And me, Bobby. And if you didn't like it, we've been Joe Wicks. Peace out.